Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and this is Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yo.
What up, man?
Yo, Stig, what up?
Yo, what your manners, fool?
Oh, my bad, yeah.
Just catch us tomorrow, man.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi, later.
Non-pertinent? How do you log that non-pertinent?
No drug talk?
They use codes to hide their patron phone numbers. And when someone does use a phone, they don't use names. And if someone does use a name, he's reminded not to. All of that is valuable evidence.
Of what?
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy?
We're building something here, Detective. We're building it from scratch. All the pieces matter.
The Wire is now considered to be one of the best shows in television history, but it was pretty under the radar when it debuted in 2002. The show's become more popular and more relevant since it went off the air 10 years ago. The Wire tackled many of the issues that are now a huge part of our national conversation. For example, the failures of both the drug war and the criminal justice system. The show also predicted the decline and fall of the newspaper industry. Jonathan Abrams joins us to discuss his new oral history of the show, All the Pieces Matter, the inside story of The Wire.
The very first thing that I saw was that I had never seen a show with this many multidimensional African-American characters. So that's what really stuck out to me, to where I had never seen that type of diversity on the screen before. And in talking with David Simon, the creator, he was saying that he wasn't trying to make a quote-unquote black show, but he was trying to show the accurate reflections for the Baltimore that he knew.
So you talk about The Wire's lack of recognition, and by the time the final season aired, a lot of TV critics had declared how great a show it was, but Emmy voters didn't give it much love. The Wire received, what, only 2 Emmy nominations for writing over the course of its 5 seasons, and it didn't win either of those awards that it was nominated for. Why do you think The Wire didn't get as much recognition and acclaim as it deserved?
I think one of the big reasons was that The Wire was never associated with Hollywood, right? It was obviously produced and shot in Baltimore by people who resided in Baltimore and were from Baltimore. So it didn't have much of a association with the award ceremonies or anything like that. And then, you know, another thing was that it was a lot of black people on the screen. And I think people didn't necessarily appreciate or recognize it in that manner. Andre Royo, who played Bubbles, in his interview for the book, one of the things that he said that stuck out for me was that a lot of times when people see 3 or 4 black people on the screen at once, they're going to automatically think that this show isn't for them. And I think a lot of that went on as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. David Simon created The Wire, and he originally envisioned the show as a novel. Do you think that Simon's ambitious vision of the show was maybe another reason why it didn't get many viewers when it started airing in 2002?
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine being one of the few people who watched that first season, and you're dropped into this dense universe. There's so many characters coming at you. They're talking with their Baltimore drawl, and you can only get every other word. And then it's over for a week, right?
Yeah.
There's no streaming. There's no DVD. You can't see the next episode. And it asked a lot of you to be able to carry that on week to week. So that's why it benefited so much when DVDs and streaming came out and people could digest it in one setting, because it is like a book.
I mean,
you can only really appreciate it by its whole.
Yeah, it's very dense, especially the pilot, the very first episode. You're introduced to so many characters. It's like you almost have to watch it a couple of times or 3 times to get sort of hooked into that world properly. In the show Bible that David Simon submitted to HBO when he was trying to get the green light to produce The Wire, he said that the grand theme is nothing less than a national existentialism. And that sounds like a pretty novelistic description to me. What did David Simon tell you about his vision of The Wire and what would make it different from other TV shows?
I think he envisioned it as a way to reach the masses with his arguments. He had already written a couple nonfiction books, and the audience that's going to read a book is only so large. So many more people watch television. So I think he began by writing on homicide, and that was his introduction into television writing, because he had written the nonfiction book for that, and then NBC ended up buying it. And I don't think he originally appreciated television. A lot of the stuff that he wrote for his first episode in Homicide got written out, and it took a while for him to really realize that that was a worthy medium. And I think in real time, he realized he was trying to do something that hadn't ever been done before.
Yeah. Maybe one of the reasons The Wire felt like a novel on TV was because its writing staff included these great crime novelists, people like Richard Price and George Pelicanos. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my favorite things about reporting this book, was talking to all these really, really renowned novelists. And Dennis Lehane, who wrote Mystic River, is another one of them.
Yes.
And when you're writing a book, it's so isolating. It's just oftentimes you and your editor, and you're not getting feedback from the outside world until you put the finished product out. So for these guys, they really had to put their ego aside and argue and be willing to let others' ideas carry the day for them to get any work done. I mean, it's sometimes, in talking to David Simon and his co-creator Ed Burns, it was a wonder to me that they got any work done, because it just seemed that they argued so much.
Yeah, and that reminds me, that makes me think of one of my favorite David Simon quotes that he would often use with when he was arguing with somebody, which from my understanding was quite often.
Let me guess, and I think I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, which one?
I could agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, that's a great line. That's great. I wonder, I bet debate teams in high school are using that now, probably, because that's just a great line. Yeah. So one of the most fascinating things about The Wire is that almost all, if not all, of the writers were white, yet here they are writing a black story, writing this dialogue for black actors. How are they able to pull this off so effectively?
So I think a lot of the actors realized and recognized that that their heart was in the right place, and that they had, you know, David Simon had been a homicide journalist for a long time at the Baltimore Sun, and Ed Burns had won a lot of respect by working in the Baltimore Homicide Department as a detective. So I think they earned the actors' trust. And then one of the biggest things that I'm sure we'll get into later is that David Simon and Ed Burns pivoted so fully in season two to show that the drug issues is not necessarily a race problem, but a class problem. Mm-hmm. And I think in real time, a lot of the actors from season one were really furious that their screen time was being diminished, but they came to appreciate what David Simon and Ed Burns were trying to tell by shifting so fully.
Many people, including the former President Barack Obama, say that Omar Little was their favorite character. Can you tell me a bit about Omar and the actor who portrayed him?
Yeah, so Omar was a character who, he had a code, but inside his code, his whole world was robbing drug dealers.
Everybody want to believe the worst about Omar. I mean, there are some rules here, right?
Rules?
Yeah. No mistakes, no bystanders, no taxpayers getting caught up in the mix. But the game is out there, and it's either play or get played.
I mean, I had never seen a character like that. I doubt that I ever will again, where he doesn't curse, he's gay. We had never really seen a black gay guy on TV like that. Mm-hmm. It was actually the actor, Michael K. Williams, it was his idea to have a kiss on screen with his lover that first season, which was something that definitely surprised the director at the time. But he was a character who gained in myth as the show continued on. One of the funnier things was that George Pelicanos said that people argued that during the fifth season, when Omar jumps out of an apartment building, that people complained that The Wire finally jumped the shark when he survived this jumping out of the building. But in real life, the figure that they based it on jumped off of a building window from like two floors higher.
I would imagine that for some of the actors, portraying characters who are dealing with these harsh lifestyles and living in these emotionally volatile headspaces, that must have been very challenging for them. How did they deal with it?
Yeah, especially somebody like Andre Royo, who had to basically tear himself up. I think it stayed with them for a while after the show, and it was a little bit hard to shake off. And even coming back to season five, I remember Andre Royo talking about, now that Bubbles is clean, he was like, how can I go from here? Because I've been in this crazy headspace the last few years trying to tear myself down to portray this guy and his addiction. And now all of a sudden I'm the person's clean. How do I deal with that?
I didn't get high. Huh? See, I knew if I did, I wouldn't get that good feeling back that I was daydreaming.
That's right.
Got me thinking about a friend of mine. Boy named Sherrod. Been carrying his passing for a long while. Ain't no shame in holding on to grief. As long as you make room for other things too. So thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me share.
David Simon often said that the city of Baltimore was itself a character in The Wire, and Andre Broglio, who portrayed Reginald Bubbles' cousins, told you that Baltimore was the best character in the show. When people would ask him who's the best character in the show, he would say, Baltimore. And David Simon often used local actors and crew members. How did Baltimore officials feel about The Wire being filmed in their backyard?
I think it's a little bit of a mixed legacy. Martin O'Malley was the mayor at the time, and he subsequently became governor, and the character of Tommy Carchetti was somewhat based off of him, at least partially. And I think at one moment, Martin O'Malley claimed that he was going to be the antidote to The Wire. The thing that I enjoy about The Wire is I think it could have been located in Los Angeles or New York, or I think the problems that David Simon was trying to show are universal throughout our country. So I think it could have worked in other cities. But the fact that it was Baltimore and Baltimore's so closely, eternally related to the show, I think is a bit of a mixed blessing.
Yeah. Didn't the commissioner of Baltimore, Frederick H. Bielfeld III, he really said something like very derogatory about them filming it, the effect of The Wire filming in Baltimore.
Yeah, I think he compared it to other shows with their dashing attorneys and their scenic views. But I think anybody who tries to bring up those type of arguments are missing the real impact and influence on the show.
Clearly, yeah. Has The Wire had an impact on the real world in the sense of changing the kinds of conversations that politicians, professors have when they talk about critical social issues?
I mean, it's something that's definitely discussed and talked about politically or studied critically in classes, but I think that's one of the issues that David Simon still has about the show is that the arguments he was trying to present are not studied as they should be or taken into account as they should be. If you look around right now, we're still debating the war on drugs, or you see what happened a couple years ago with the sad death of Freddie Gray, and it's almost like The Wire is going to be relevant until some of these issues and challenges that we face as a society are addressed accurately. That's why I think The Wire is still as relevant today as it was back when it was on the air.
After Gray's death, there was rioting and looting on the same streets where The Wire was filmed. Did any of the people involved in The Wire have anything to say about this?
Yeah, I mean, some of the actors felt like The Wire had predicted such a situation happening by how they portrayed the kids being taken into the wagons and given rough rides. Yeah. Basically, they thought that The Wire was almost predicting the future.
Some of us are just standing somewhere. Yo, we America! West Baltimore.
The title of your book, All the Pieces Matter, comes from an episode from the first season, and it seems that that phrase applies to why the show is considered by many to be the best TV series of all time. All of the pieces, the writing, the directing, the acting, and everything else were at the highest level and combined to make something that's greater than its individual pieces. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree. In season one, you see a tiny character like Stan Velchek be introduced maybe once or twice. And then by the second season, you see his role start to grow. And then by the end of the series, he becomes a police commissioner. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how David Simon weaved this all together and had a plan from the get-go about where these characters are going. Even if we as a viewer just saw this character quickly and dismissed him, David Simon had a plan for him.
Yeah. The actor Robert Wisdom, who played Howard Bunny Colvin, told you something interesting about there being two kinds of people in the world. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. He said people who have seen The Wire and people who haven't seen The Wire.
Yeah. Can you make the case for why those people who haven't watched The Wire should watch it?
Yeah. I mean, it explains why things are the way that they are, and how the institutions that we have a lot of faith in, how they oftentimes don't accommodate the individual, or aren't set up to accommodate the individual.
That's Jonathan Abrams. He's the author of All the Pieces Matter, The Inside Story of The Wire. For more information, visit WPR.org/beta.